I trust that in the coming minutes the truths emphasized in each part of the wheel illustration will become a pattern practical enough for you to present to your group. If you set the pace in sharing the illustration with them, they may feel more secure about drawing it out and communicating it with someone else this week. This can be shared on a napkin or the back of a placemat if you're out getting a cup of coffee or having a meal with someone. It could be drawn on a program as you wait for a performance to begin. You may begin by asking, "Would you like to see a short illustration someone showed me that gave me a visual picture of what it's all about to have balance in the Christian life? Unfortunately, it is not an instant holiness formula, but spiritual growth will come if you determine to do the things I'm about to show you. If they give you their permission, draw the hub of a wheel and the outside rim, explaining them as you draw. The rim is the obedient Christian living the life. We are guided to obey by a God who never makes mistakes. John 14:21 and 14:23 tells us that our every obedient act is an expression of our love for Him and the key to His abiding presence with us. It is also the test of His lordship in our lives. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" God is serious about obedience. Obedience is dependent on who is in the hub. At this point, we write in the word Jesus. Colossians 2:3 out of the Amplified says, speaking of Jesus, "In Him all the treasures of divine wisdom, of comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden." Let me ask you, who is at the center of your life? Your family? Your business? Social status? Pleasure? Sports? Things? In Romans 12:1-2, Paul says that Christ should be central in our lives. And He carries the weight in our lives just like the hub of a wheel carries the weight of the wheel. Psalm 55:22 in the Amplified says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and He shall sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to slip, fall, or fail." Jesus also provides power. Just like all the driving power for a wheel comes from the hub, in the same way the driving power for the Christian life comes from Jesus. In Philippians 4:13 it says, "I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me." It is obvious we have some parts missing between the rim and the hub which we must have to gain access to the power. This happens through the spokes. In our vertical relationship with the Lord, we have the Word and prayer. What do you really believe about the Word of God? What is your authority for what you believe? The value of the Word is easily assessed. It is the foundation of salvation, it says in 2 Timothy 3:15. It brings us assurance in Revelation 3:20 and 1 John 5:11-12. Rutherford, the Scotch divine, said, "Make much of assurance. It is the anchor of the soul. It will provide confidence for witnessing. For in Psalm 119:42 it says, 'So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. It will be the basis of my victory.'" Psalm 119:9-11. "The basis of growth," 1 Peter 2:2, "and peace." In fact, great peace is promised me in Psalm 119:165, "if I love God's law, and nothing shall offend me." Prayer is the other vertical spoke. If you will use this privilege of communicating with God, you will never need to worry about another thing. You may say, "That's dumb. If I don't worry about it, who will?" Stop worrying so you can start praying. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Don't entertain worries." Do you ever do that? Wake up in the middle of the night and call the worries in and have a party? I've been guilty of that from time to time. But God knows we have troubles and problems. Praying about them brings the reality of God into sharper focus. If you get into a spot, pray. When you get out, thank God and then tell someone else. That brings Him glory. Most of us have faith in our ability to produce or in our family's ability to care for us. Mark 11:23 encourages us to ask God for specific things. Then we get to see God watch out for us. "God, I need a new tire. God, I need the right girlfriend. God, I need a new job." You know why you don't see answers? Well, one reason may be prayer is conditional. Psalm 66:18 and Isaiah 59:1-2 indicate that so long as we hold on to sin, He will not hear us. The Word and prayer, the vertical intake spokes of the wheel, are shortcuts to the heart of God. The horizontal spokes of the wheel, fellowship and witnessing, concern our relationship to others. Fellowship of believers was prayed for by Jesus. Four times in the high priestly prayer in John 17, he prayed that we might be one in the bond of unity. I believe that prayer is still valid and that God is in the business of answering it today. Fellowship is needed by men for at least four reasons. One, it is the encouragement we need. In Hebrews 10:25, it indicates that we encourage one another to stay on fire. Like burning coals put off by themselves will go out, but next to each other the fire brightly burns. Secondly, fellowship provides extra power. I don't know why it's true, but my faith, plus yours when we're apart, is not nearly as powerful as the sum total of our faith when we're together. Matthew 18:19-20 recounts, "Again I say unto you, that when two of you are gathered together and ask anything in my name, I will do it for them." The Bible tells us that one of you shall chase 1,000, and two of you shall put 10,000 to flight. It seems to me there's a little improvement there. We are 10 times more effective together. Thirdly, it brings us correction. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Fourth, fellowship is a support in our labor, in our failure, in our resistance of the enemy. Considering these fantastic rewards in fellowship, don't you think it behooves us to have the courage to take off our various masks, to quit faking each other out, and have our real selves come out of hiding with one another so that we can have the kind of fellowship the Bible speaks of? Witnessing is the last spoke. Acts 1:8 tells us, "Ye shall be my witnesses." There is a vast difference between knowing Christ and knowing about Him. You can't give what you haven't got any more than you can come back from some place where you've never been. Acts 22:14-15 reminds us that witnessing is the result of a relationship. Some possible problems we may have to contend with are these. One, it may be that we have nothing to tell. Two, we may fear rejection or failure. Three, our selfishness may reveal that we have no real love or concern and therefore no time to tell others. Fourth, sin may be in our lives which will silence our lips. Fifth, we may suffer from a feeling of inadequacy which reveals the wrong emphasis on our part. Self should not be the focus, but God should be the focus of a sincere witness, remembering that Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Let me ask you, is Christ the center of your life? Are you obeying Him in every area where He has spoken to you? How about the spokes of your life? Are you short in the Word, short in prayer time, maybe overlong in fellowship? Are you short in witnessing? Does your life have the balance to run smoothly? At this point, teacher, you may want to ask different ones of the group to take a different part of the wheel and prepare to discuss next week the how-to of making these things a real part of their lives. How do we make the Word a part of our lives? How can prayer become more effective? How can I be open enough to have real fellowship with others? And what makes an effective witness? If you feel your group is too busy to prepare each part of the wheel for presentation, you could give them a thought assignment. Since every part of the wheel except the hub is something to do, one could get works conscious. Remind them then that there are people running around in Christendom who are doing all the things the wheel would suggest we do, but their lives lack power. Their action could be accompanied by wrong heart attitudes. Ask them to think about an appropriate attitude for each spoke and the rim that would ensure God's pleasure and power in their lives. To aid your understanding in what I mean, I share the following for your thought and consideration. On the rim, you probably know a very obedient Christian. You hardly run into them, but what they've read 30 pages in their Bible, Old and New Testament, and have memorized the passage and reviewed all their old verses systematically, prayed through their daily, weekly, monthly, and biannual prayer list, written letters of encouragement to their Christian friends, and witnessed everything that moved. But still, their lives have no power. Could the attitude they are lacking be humility? James 4:6 says, "God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." The attitude of submission should accompany our opening the Word. On this spoke, my time is lost unless I'm willing to do what it tells me to do and stop doing what I am doing that the Word suggests should not be in my life, James 1:22. Without the attitude of faith, my prayers are ineffective. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please Him." In fellowship, I can sit elbow to elbow, stare eye to eye with my Christian friends, and go away without really fellowshipping if I have not love. Matthew 22:39 says, "You shall love your neighbor." In witnessing, many people have stuffed the Roman road down the targets of their pagan penetration without heeding 2 Corinthians 4:5, which tells us we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Serving should be the attitude in our lives when sharing Christ with others. So these, again, are the attitudes I suggest should accompany the doing of the spokes of the wheel. Obedience, humility. The Word, submission. Prayer, faith. Fellowship, love. Witnessing, servanthood. One last help. A visual aid that would again bring all attention to the hub of the wheel presentation is a task in embroidering. Maybe one of you fellows' wives would like to do it. Corrie ten Boom carries with her a piece of cloth that has a crown embroidered on it. She shows the tangled thread side to those who wonder if God has made a mistake in their lives. Then she turns it over to show the finished crown. James 1:12 said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him."